Standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He is Joe. I am Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Ryan went to a movie today. He's got that 32-ounce Pepsi.
It's like he's ignoring you.
Yeah. So Colton's back again, huh?
Yep.
Do y'all train interns outside of drive time shows?
Not really.
That's interesting.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
You learn how to do everything wrong on John and Lance?
No, we have other shows.
How not to
break? Dell seems like the training grounds to me.
Yeah, except for, but Sean's got to talk to Dell the whole time. You can't train and talk.
Yeah, it's bad.
Come on, I know what I'm doing.
Eh.
Oh, okay. I'm going home.
What's that?
So I'm going home.
See ya. Colton and I got this.
Okay.
His gravelly voice. Still needs a pack. Did you pick up a pack of cigarettes today, Colton? We told Colton yesterday he needed to start smoking. That way he had a better voice.
I can't condone that, so.
Yeah, you can't. Lots to get to today. It's a Friday. We don't have lots to get to today. But, well, it's a Friday show. I like to take John and Lance are Radio Hall of Famers for a reason, rightfully so. So whenever you have Radio Hall of Famers in the building, you heed their advice. How do they treat Fridays? Anything goes. That's what we do. Anything goes. We'll get to some sports, Texan stuff, Astro stuff. It is a Mailbag Monday on a Friday, though. Bad Take Boulevard a little bit later. And wherever you guys take us, 713-780-ESPN. Twitch, be careful there. They are bad hombres on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch along on YouTube, ESPN Houston, Twitter, ESPN975, TikTok, ESPN975 as well. But we start with basketball, Joe. What were your top three takeaways from the Kelvin Sampson show last night?
Oh, it was on?
Yes, one, yeah.
You were there?
That's also correct.
I don't know if I could say the other one. It might be too much personal information for me to share about you.
Okay.
And it was really entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. You nailed it.
Kelvin's really well informed.
He is. He's smart.
The other guy? I don't know.
That's valid. Their food's so good there, though. I got the two meat combo, brisket, pork ribs.
Great call.
I go double. You get two sides with a two meat combo.
Okay. What do you get?
I go double Brussels.
Really?
I go double Brussels.
No mac and cheese?
I'm trying to watch the girls.
I know,
figure.
But their mac and cheese is so good.
I'm trying to be a little bit better eater this year. It's been like halfway better.
I mean, it's only January 30th, so you still got 11 months to figure it out.
Yeah,
I go beef rib typically there, especially at J-Bar-M.
They don't have the beef rib on the two meat plate.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah, you can get that.
Oh, okay, I'm just used to when they bring it to the office.
The beef rib is unbelievable.
It's very good.
Beef ribs are some of my favorite.
It's a go to.
What are your top two barbecue meats?
I think beef rib and brisket.
Okay.
Are my go-to.
What's your third?
I like jalapeno sausage.
Okay, so you go sausage over a rib, over a pork rib. Because sausage and ribs, pork
yeah.
ribs
so
are
both pork.
So here's
the thing.
So like,
I'm not really supposed to eat pork.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So like, I kind of break the rules sometimes, and sometimes I don't. Ribs is one of those rules that like, when my wife's there, I don't eat it.
Yeah, if I'm breaking the pork rule, though, I would go ribs over sausage.
But if I've already got a rib with a beef rib... I'm not going to double rib.
I don't know, man. Like, if you got to dabble in some pork, give me a little dabble
That's
of a
fair.
Rib, but not a
That's
dabble
fair.
Of some sausage.
I like the spice. I like the jalapeno.
Okay. Fair enough. To each their own. 713-780-ESPN. Ryan, that's inappropriate. Ryan, you can't say that. That's inappropriate. 75, you lied, J-Bone. I can see B-Mac's belly. You kind of can. If you're watching along on Twitch, you can, B-Mac, I wouldn't call it his belly. I would say his, like, you know, his abdomen, his abductor. Is a little bit in the in that, what would you call that, a midriff?
Sure.
Brian's midriff.
Sure. He is not happy.
He's the one standing there. I can see it in the camera. It's not my fault. 75's fault. Anyways, I stumbled on this article, Joe, and we'll get to the Rockets here in a second, but I mean, pressing things first, college basketball and The Athletic. They had a list of teams. They had six teams that could win the national championship.
Okay.
And this is always like a conversation that you have halfway through conference play, late January, early February. You start to sort of pay attention to some brackets and resumes and seedings and stuff like that. And you start talking about the national title contenders. They have Chance Moore does a great job. C.J. Moore, who writes for The Athletic. He listed six teams that could win the national title.
Okay.
Arizona, he has listed as one of the six.
Makes sense.
Any objection there?
None.
They might be the best team in the country.
They're nasty. They're still number one?
They're number one and undefeated.
Okay.
They are nasty. Really good team. They're coming to the Fertitta Center here in a few weeks. That's going to be fun. Michigan, he has listed.
Makes sense. They're very good.
Michigan's been like, they have one loss, but they've been killing people. They did play Nebraska last week, won in overtime or won a close game. Can't remember if it went to OT or not. But they've been just crushing people. So you're good with Michigan?
I'm good with Michigan. Big game tonight.
Who they got?
Michigan State.
Ooh.
I'm going to watch that one.
Ooh.
Last Dance for Izzo?
Is that one in East Lansing or is it Ann Arbor?
It's in East Lansing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good game. Okay. All right. I didn't realize that game was on tonight. That sounds like some good watching. Good looking out, Joe.
That's what I'm here for.
UConn. Can they win it all?
Yep, they always can.
All right. They have, I mean, UConn's, yeah. I mean, they're two-time national champion here back-to-back a couple years ago. They have Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston listed as a national champion. You think they win the national championship?
Absolutely.
I would agree. They list here. They're right up on Houston. They have write-ups on all these teams. We're not going to read all of them, but we'll read Houston. This is Samson's most efficient offense in Houston. He might be coaching his most talented player ever in Flemings. The Houston perimeter trio of Fleming, Sharp, and Uzan is one of the best in the country. What hasn't been up to the Houston standard is defense. The Cougs still rank ninth in adjusted defense, but there's a major drop-off when JoJo Tugler leaves the floor, allowing a bunch of different stats, blah, 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 blah. Tugler's susceptible to foul trouble, and Houston's backup bigs are not nearly as strong as Samson's past teams. If Tugler can stay on the floor in March and April, then this team will have a chance.
These numbers are a little alarming, though, actually. They allow 89.3 points per 100 possessions with Tugler, and 105 when he's on the bench?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that feels like there has to be a little, like, is it an anomaly there? Like,
no, I mean, Tugler.
Is it really like one player is a 14-point swing per 100 possessions?
Tugler might be the best defensive player in the country.
Okay.
And there is a bit of a drop-off when you go to the bench.
Sure.
So I don't think it's crazy.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think the numbers kind of summarize it nicely.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Defense is getting better, though. They are ninth in a adjusted defensive rating in the KenPom. So still top 10 defense. You think Kingston Fleming's freshman year, Eric Gordon freshman year?
Ooh.
Because Samson had Gordon. Gordon won and done at Indiana, who was a top 10 draft pick, and obviously he's had a great career. So is he, you think? The best freshman under Samson? Like, that's tough to me.
I mean, Gordon went, he went 10th, in the, like, he went in the top 10. You
he
said.
Went top 10. I think it was 8th.
I mean, Fleming's feels like he's going to go top five. So, like, is that just enough to say it's Fleming's?
Gordon went 7th.
Oh, okay.
In the 08 draft.
I mean, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Gordon was awesome.
That was a loaded draft, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this year's draft is loaded as well. Do you remember that draft, the Eric Gordon draft?
Yeah, because him and Derek used to play on a...
Derek Rose went number one.
They played on an AAU team together. It was the Nike Mean Streets. It was awesome.
Beasley, too. Him coming out of Kansas State, he was like a phenomenon.
Yes, he was.
I want to say he and I think Bill Walker was that second player at Kansas State.
Remember there was a conversation at one point that the Bulls were going to trade the first pick to the Heat for Dwayne Wade, and the Heat were going to go 1-2 and just take Rose and Beasley.
Wow.
But obviously, you know.
O.J. Mayo went 3 in that draft.
He was very good.
But he was like a phenomenon coming
yes,
out of USC.
Yes, he was very
too.
Good.
Like, he didn't have the pro career as people
no.
thought whenever he was drafted.
He was a solid pro, but, like, he was an elite college player.
The next two picks are Hall of Famers.
Who is that?
They're going to be Hall of Famers.
Who's that?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yep.
Number 4 to the Seattle Supersonics.
And then Kevin Love?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Love went number 5. That was a good draft, man.
That's a very good draft.
Gallinari went 6, and then Eric Gordon went 7.
Gallinari was a good player, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with the article. Illinois, they have listed as a national championship contender.
Yeah, they're a good team.
That Wagler kid, he might be the most underappreciated freshman in the country.
I don't know. I mean, after Saturday, when him and Flemings and DeBance all dropped 40 on the same day, I think he kind of woke up everyone up.
Nebraska listed as their last title contender. Mm-hmm. You like Nebraska? You know, Hoiberg has a son on that team.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realize that until earlier this year.
I have like a weird love-hate relationship with Fred Hoiberg.
Go on.
I didn't really like him as the Bulls coach
very
much, but he's a great college coach.
He is a great college coach.
Yeah, he was great at Iowa State.
Wonderful at Iowa State.
He was fine with the Bulls. And then now he's got Nebraska as the number 5 team in the country.
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense. That's a good call.
Yeah, I have no problem with those six. The teams,
those are the only six?
The teams he had as other title contenders, I wouldn't be shocked to win it, so he kind of hedges here. But he had those as like his six favorites. He has Duke listed.
Boozer. Makes sense.
Were you going to go further than that?
They have two Boozers.
They do have two Boozers. One's way better than the other.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, like you're twins. Like, why is one so much better than the other?
That's not, but no, I think we're kind of used to that at this point, aren't we?
How does that happen, though?
But, like, look at Blake and...
They're not twins.
I thought Blake Griffin and his brother were twins.
No, I think the other one's a year older.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh. They're not twins. They're different. They're different years. Are pretty, like 95%.
Are the Lopez's twins?
I think they are.
Robin and Brooke?
I think they are twins.
And there's a big talent gap there.
Amin and Oster.
Yep. They're South Sea. They're
not that different, I don't think.
They're the same.
Yeah.
They're the same player.
Like, how could you be identical twins and one brother is just way better than the other brother? Like, is it work ethic? Is it practice?
Probably.
Like, the skill should be the same. The genetics should be the same.
It's just luck of the draw a little bit.
I think it's everything after the birth.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything pre-birth. I think it's all after birth.
Amen and Asar are literally the same basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, there's almost, I think, well, Asar can shoot a little bit better.
Amen's probably more of a focal point for his team than Asar.
Little different circumstances.
But if you flip if you just traded them, mm-hmm. right? You had like a Freaky Friday moment where you trade them.
We'd be fine.
I think you wouldn't notice a difference.
No, the Rockets would be good.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a min. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome
might, you know, if the defense sags off of him, might rip a three and make it.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here very often. No. He won't even attempt them. So he has Michigan State, another one. They got a big one tonight against Michigan. I could see them making a run. Purdue is like the darling preseason, the number one preseason team, mm-hmm. returned everybody. Braden Smith, many people think the best point guard in the country. Trey Kaufman, Wren. Like, I could see them making a run. Iowa State is listed. I think they're underrated.
Okay.
I think they're very underrated. Lipsy and Momchilovic, mm-hmm. Joshua Jefferson, very
sure.
good. They have Texas Tech listed.
Texas
no
Tech
argument
was,
there.
That was one of the teams in the top six, just what I've seen from them. I'm impressed.
Anderson and Toppin, and then you surround them with shooting and the mm-hmm. way that they play. Like, that's a big boy team there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good basketball team. Gonzaga?
My dad says they're doing very well this year.
Gonzaga? Yeah. They've only lost. What do you mean your dad says they're doing very good?
Right? He got his masters from Gonzaga.
So he's a Zags fan?
Kind of. He watches them more since he got his degree there.
Who's his favorite Gonzaga basketball player?
His favorite
Zag.
We don't get that far in depth.
Is it Dan Dickow?
Maybe.
Adam Morrison?
I think, well, that's when he went got his masters.
Nimhard?
Maybe Nimhard.
I think Gonzaga's had a great program for a very long time. And then the wild cards, they have BYU, who...
Yep.
Arguably the number one pick. You see him mostly second with DeBanza.
Yeah.
But he has good surrounding pieces around him with Wright, Richie Saunders. They have Bama mentioned. They have Florida, the defending champion, mentioned. They have Arkansas mentioned. Kansas mentioned as well. If they can ever get Peterson right, Peterson's a freak show.
This is a long list for what's supposed to be six teams.
I know. He kind of listed everybody that's going to be in the bracket. But he had his favorites.
Yeah, but then, his favorites. But then there's another category. There's bubble bound, but it just keeps this list just keeps going and going.
I had to stop.
Okay,
I had to stop. Colton, who's your college team? Where did you go to school, Colton? Is that a DePaul hat? Colton forgot where the mic button's at. Colton forgot
A&M.
Where the on button's at.
Like A&M.
A&M?
Yeah, oh, way okay. better this year than last year.
What do you think of Buckyball?
A lot better.
Yeah, I like
last
Bucky
year. Was
McMillan.
Like watching paint dry. It's pretty bad. It's kind of like watching the Rockets. Whole bunch of offensive rebounds, second chance points, but a lot worse.
You didn't like
worse.
Buzz, huh?
Buzz was all right. Good motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Sets the tone. Play good defense.
You know who he's friends with, right?
Who's he friends with?
He's friends with Jack Easterby.
Oh.
Him and Jack
That's
are very
good company.
Tight. They're thick as thieves.
Very good.
Thick as thieves. He follows them around.
Maryland's 1-8 this year.
Yeah, Maryland's terrible.
They're kind of getting tired of Buzz already, which I think is unfair. Like year one, like that's the culture year that's building it. But it is like the NIL era. It is like they spent money on him. Hey, they were good last year. Willard left them. It's kind of like, hey, we expect you to come in here and be like a tournament team. And they've not been good.
It's one of those where like now in the new, with the NIL and the transfer portal stuff, like when you bring in a coach of that supposed the caliber, you expect to be good immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't expect to be 1-8 in the Big Ten.
No.
This year.
No. Yeah, we'll see what happens there in Maryland. With Buzz.
Aggies are good, though.
I do think that the Aggies got the better end of that, though. Like, I know a lot of Aggies, and not many of them were sad to see Buzz leave. Like, I did see, like, some of them, like, unsure about Bucky, because he came from a smaller school. Like, what are we getting with
He's
Bucky?
So young.
Yeah. Like, I think there was a little bit of, like, uncertainty with Bucky, but not at all unhappy that Buzz was leaving. Yeah, funny how they went from a Buzz to a Bucky.
Was he coaching high school basketball, like, 4 years, 5 years
Something
ago?
Something like that.
Like, it's like he's, raised the ranks so far.
Yeah, he's a good coach, though, man.
Yeah, we brought back, like, none of our players either. Buzz took them all, or they went to the draft or whatever. And
yeah.
So, kind of scary there, but he's produced.
Yeah, he's
a lot better. We've kind of like our football team. We've kind of played the bottom half of the SEC schedule so far.
Uh-huh.
But as we get deeper in, we'll see.
Giggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you go? Did you go to high school around here, Colton?
Seven Lakes and Katy.
Okay. Spartans?
They're pretty good at basketball this year. Really good.
Well, they have a, I think they have a dude who's like highly recruited.
Yeah, he's going to UTSA.
Okay, it must
year.
Be a different dude.
That's not highly recruited.
They make voice-altering technology. Come on, Colton. I told him to get a pack of cigarettes on the way to work today. He didn't do it.
Get some Marlboros.
Nethers Yunky says, shout out Friday, Springs versus Falls. Springs versus Falls, varsity boys soccer. When did we say shout out Fridays?
I don't.
No one said shout out Fridays. We said anything goes Fridays. Well, we didn't say shout out Fridays.
No, you said,
we're not going to shout out Springs versus Falls, varsity boys soccer. Do you think this show shouts out Springs versus Falls varsity boys soccer? Who's winning the match, Pops?
To be fair, you said anything goes.
trying to pigeonhole us into shout out.
Yeah,
we don't do shout out radio. Springs versus Falls varsity boys soccer tonight. We're not shouting out Springs versus Falls.
We're not.
We don't do shout
out.
We're
not
radio.
Shouting them out.
I don't shout out my mother. I don't shout out my wife. We don't do shout out radio. No, we're above that. Springs versus Falls varsity boys soccer, that's getting a shout out on the show? Absolutely not. 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. I hijacked efficiently this first opening segment. We will get to the Rockets and the Hawks yesterday. A little bounce back there. What is the Rockets' young core, too? People are talking about that. 713-780-3776. Busy show. Very busy show. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. It is Friday with us. 713-780-ESPN. Anything goes Friday. Shout out to the homeless guy who keeps my front window clean every day on my way to work. Maybe this is going to turn into Shout Out Friday.
Yeah, but only... Do you ask him to?
No, I usually tell him no.
The worst is when you tell them no and they do it anyways and then ask for money.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's... Puts me in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have to tip you. I'm not going to. I'm going to be the jerk in the situation.
I don't think anybody thinks you're the jerk there.
I feel internally.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you have that sort of reflection. But no, I don't think you're the... I always tell them no. Like, I don't carry cash. So, like, I'm not... The worst people are the ones who, like, know they don't have cash.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, come on, do it. And then
that's
they
a bad person.
Yeah, that's the jerk.
For sure.
In this scenario. I think it's a little jerkish, too, if you say no and then they do it. Like, now you're touching my property after I didn't invite you. That wasn't consensual.
Mm-hmm.
They're touching your window without consent.
Don't touch my window.
No, I think that's a little jerk move,
too. Clean my own window.
No, you won't.
No, I won't.
No, you won't.
I won't, but...
You won't clean your own window, but you just don't want them to clean your window.
I mean, I'll do the windshield wiper.
Yeah, it's always annoying when it runs out of water.
That's true.
That becomes an issue. Rockets won a basketball game last night.
They
Joe.
Did.
104-86. Nice bounce back win. This was good to see.
And nice bounce back after the first half where they didn't play very well.
They were winning.
Yeah, they still didn't play that well. I mean, you could just tell.
Second leg of a back-to-back on the road.
You could see it. You could see that it was affecting them.
You're
and
so
now,
critical.
Fair. But now we've got two back-to-back, two wins this season on a back-to-back, which is good because it took a while to get your first one. So now it's not like are they ever going to win on a back-to-back? They are doing that now. They played well last night in the second half, and Kevin Durant's incredible.
Like, yeah, he's incredible.
What he's doing at this age, like he's the one who was like, you could tell he started off a little slow in the first half, and he just turned it on. He was nasty.
He's really, really good.
He was very, very good.
It's amazing how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost want him to take 40 shots a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he will whenever the games matter. Like, and I've seen some people being critical of that. Like, Kevin Durant, you need to be more of a, and not towards him, but, like, to the Rockets specifically. Like, hey, you're this high level of a scorer. Maybe you should be taking 30, 35 shots a game instead of 20, 25 shots a game.
I'd be fine with it. Like,
yeah.
Especially if he's taken away from maybe Jabari a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cut Jabari's down to, like, 6 or 7 shots a game.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, just more ball in his hand, make the right play.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it doesn't mean 30 shots, but a little bit more usage. Stuff
but if
like
he has
that.
One of those nights, I'm not going to complain.
Like, I haven't seen it in a while, but remember early in the year, like, it was his lowest usage percentage in his career?
Yes.
Like, Maybe
by a wide margin.
Maybe close to the top usage percentage of your career. Now, I do think that there's something to Kevin Durant doing this. I do think it's like his way, the Rockets' way of trying to develop young players, and that when the games really matter, then we'll see more of that, which I get. Like, I totally understand that. Like, instead of, you know, maybe you sacrifice the battle a little bit for a chance to increase your chances of winning the war.
Sure. When does that – when do you turn that on, though? Like when is it just for the playoffs? Because I feel like
you probably need a little build up.
You want to see what it looks like in the regular season, right? So like, is it? Because I kind of feel like now is kind of the time because post deadline, you're going to face a lot of teams that don't really care.
I mean, you're only about halfway through the year, though. A little bit more than halfway.
Yeah, so like, maybe just occasionally.
Maybe occasionally.
Yeah, because you're just like you're like 46,
and the postseason's so long. Now it's longer for teams that advance, obviously.
Yeah,
that like maybe it's just the postseason.
That'd be fine, too, honestly. Like, just when the first game tips off and you're playing the Lakers in the first round, like, it's KD versus LeBron, just be torching him for the entire night.
Like,
that'd be fine.
Save your legs a little bit. And I know he's playing a lot of minutes. I think there's a difference, though, between minutes and usage, right? You know, maybe he's trying to not empty the tank.
Yeah,
the regular season.
Yeah, like, and I'm fine with that. Like, same with, like, the very beginning of the season. You know, there's those couple games in a row where they were missing shots and, you know, buzzer beaters. Alpi was taking bad shots. Where it's the same thing there. Like, give these young guys a chance to figure out, like, what it's going to look like with KD at the end of the game, but also when KD doesn't get the ball. I'm fine with it, but, like, last night's game, it's just when you're not playing up to par because you're on a back-to-back and you're traveling, like, you got to find a way to win, and they did. They dominated the third quarter, and they did their job last night.
Did their job. Job
yesterday. Josh Okogie.
Good find.
He was a nuisance last night.
It's a good find. Like, he's giving you what you thought Dorian Finney-Smith was going to give you.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy.
He had the second most rebounds on the team last night.
Yeah. Meanwhile, how tall is Jabari? Like, people remember whenever I said Jabari needs to attack the rim more and like rebound more? And like, no, he's a perimeter player. He plays out on the wing, not all the time. He's a four. Josh Okogie's a guard.
Yeah.
And Josh Okogie's yanking down 10 rebounds a game. No, he doesn't do this night in, night out.
No, it was a career high. Yeah, I think his career high, I think Ackerman said during the game was four. And that when he said that, he had seven. He got three more. So Josh Okogie's 6'4".
I'm happy that you didn't say new career high and just career high. I respect that.
It's just a career high.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, new career high is redundant.
It is.
Yeah. I'm just applauding it.
Thanks.
I nitpick a lot, and I critique a lot, and I want to just compliment just as much.
But Jabari's 6'11", so yes, he should be getting more rebounds.
Go to the basket. Jabari's been a little bit of a disappointment this year.
A little bit?
Been a little bit of a disappointment.
I think he's been the most disappointing player on the team.
Been a little bit of a disappointment.
Like, it's and now there's a...
More than Reed? Who's been the most disappointing Rocket? 713-780-3776.
I think Jabari, because I think, like, Reed, the expectations are much lower, right?
Yeah, he didn't get the extension either.
Like, it's, like Reed is still developing. He's in his second year. Didn't play a ton last season. We're seeing flashes where, like, you know, in the second half of last night's game where he's struggling to shoot, and all of a sudden he just starts knocking down threes out of nowhere. Like, you see what it can be for him and his role on this team, where Jabari, you're just like, meh. Like, some nights it's good. He goes, you know, 6-for-14 from the 3-point line. And then other nights he goes 0-for-7. So, like, I think Jabari's the most disappointing player by far.
Yeah.
On this team.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Junkie says, I was listening to the Rockets radio broadcast the other night, and they said less than 10% of Durant's shots are coming from 10 feet and shorter. Hey, shout out Matt Thomas. What's up?
It might have been Wax.
Oh. Well, that's a good broadcast.
If it's a nerdy stat,
a good broadcast. That surprises me a little bit. I would expect to like, I mean, I wasn't expecting a big number, but I would have thought more closer to 25% than less than 10. He's never been a dude that like attacks the rim though.
He pulls up.
Like he finds his spots and you know his midi and all of that. So he's never been a dude who goes to the rim much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen him finish at the rim this year. That's why I'm a little surprised by the 10%.
Yeah, you would think it'd be more than that, but he's been the mid range has been his friend. As it always has been in his career. He's been taking, like, I think, a good amount of threes. That's where I wonder if that goes up in the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
The volume of threes goes up.
Not reading that. Thanks for talking college b-ball and the Cougs. Not many stations out there doing. Yeah, to me, it's Anything Goes Friday. We'll talk Cougs all day if you want. 713-780-3776.
We talk Cougs after every single game.
I give my
three takeaways after every single game.
Joe gets his 3 points
every
game. Cody,
we lead the show with it.
We did. Multiple times a week. Kobe White was 0-for-4. I mean, but he's thanking us. He's not being critical of us.
No, I'm just saying.
He's complimenting us. It might be a she. I don't know. Kobe White was 0-for-5 from the floor last night at one point, already fitting in with the Rockets. Jabari and DFS are disappointing. Good call on DFS. Reed is who he is, a bench player that will give you scoring while being consistent. That's a fair assessment on him, too.
Yeah, DFS, though, is a little weird because he's only been active for just over a month now.
Yeah, it's just
it still hasn't looked great. Yeah. It still hasn't been particularly good.
Junkie says RBI or RBIs.
RBI.
How dare you insult me? You, sir, ejected. You're out of here. You're gone. That's an insulting question to ask this show.
You are out of here.
I don't like ejecting people on Friday either. Because when you eject somebody on a Friday,
they're banned until Monday. It's like if you get a DUI on the weekend, you're stuck. Never got one of those, but
see that from experience?
No. I've had friends who've had that.
Yeah. I don't like ejecting on Friday. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. But if you ask a dumb question like RBI, RBIs, I have no choice. 713-780-3. In fact, that ejection was you. Like, I didn't eject you. You ejected yourself. 713-780-3776.
Brian, are you texting in right now?
Oh, my goodness. Somebody that I respect just told me it's RBI, never RBIs. Oh, I'm judging. I'm judging right now. Oh.
They said it's RBIs?
They said it's RBI. Oh, I'm judging so much.
Someone you respected?
Somebody I respect just texted me, said RBI, never RBIs.
Do I know this person?
Someone that should know AP style, too. No, you don't know him personally. Okay. Oh, man.
It's ruined Jeremy's Friday.
What's the Rockets' timeline? Also, what is the Rockets' young core? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
All right, since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business and leasing brand new and used lease vehicles to you. Over 5 million people are using D&M right now to lease their vehicles, and you can too. All you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 today. You'll get no payments for the next 60 days, and you'll be working with someone that's been there for on average about 10 years. You'll be working with the same leasing agent the same time. So you'll get that white glove service from the beginning to the end. And the best part is you can do all of it from the comfort of your own home. DocuSign, they'll bring the car to you when it comes time. You don't have to go to the dealership ever again. Check them out right now at dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and tell them that ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN. Straight to the red card, no yellow. We don't do soccer rules here. Soccer doesn't matter until six some days of the week.
Agreed. We don't do soft. We're not soft. You're either here or you're gone. Mm-hmm. It's like a baseball game. You don't get half ejections.
See. No, I'm straight gone. Maybe a stern warning. You know, maybe you put the hand out and be like, that's enough.
We give those.
Yeah, we do those from time to time.
That's what the Twitch is, basically.
Yeah. Prisoners of War. How would you acronym that for more than one? Would you say there's multiple? Would you say there's five POW? Or would you say there's five POWs?
POWs?
Of course.
Yeah.
All acronyms, you put an S at the end.
Yep.
Weapons of mass destruction. Would you say that they went into the other country and took three WMD?
Nope.
You'd say three WMDs.
WMDs.
Yes. It's it's an AP rule. It's MLA rule.
Yep.
It's common sense rule. Anybody else who's doing otherwise is just acting pretentious. Like, oh, I know it all. Button up my shirt. I mean, put up my glasses. I know better than AP and MLA.
Did you get the AP to tweet this out, the one that you just quote tweeted from 2015?
No, it's been out there forever.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I just want to remind everybody.
I mean, it makes sense. RBIs.
Anybody who says otherwise is spitting in the face of grammar. Spitting in the face of AP. Spitting in the face of MLA. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Ryan says it's crazy that I mispronounce as many words as I do, and I'm this much of a stickler for AP. I don't mispronounce words if I study them. I mean, you just expect me for 15 hours a day to know every single word? Come on, I'm not Polillo.
That's true.
I'm not very smart either.
He's no AP.
Jay Bone, you remember how you butchered the pronunciation of queso flamado? Flamiado. My bad. I dropped the vowel. What about MPH, miles per hour? I don't know about that one.
That's just MPH.
Yeah. I'd have to think about that one a little bit more.
I mean, I've never seen that one.
That one already, but that already has the S in it. Like, the M is short for not mile. It's for miles.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's different.
Yes, so it's MPH.
Yeah,
yes.
It's the MPH. The M in MPH is for miles, not mile.
Yes,
so correct. That's where the difference lies there. That's a good question, though. I had to think about that for a second. No dugout warning. What do you think this is? High school ball? Rocky, Gerard Johnson staying, and they're hiring another Pats ex-player. Cal and Hannah are obviously satisfied not advancing past the divisional round because nothing ever changes. Do you think that the quarterback coach is the reason that they struggled this year? Do you think that them hiring a Pats player to coach the tight ends is going to prevent them next year?
Who did they hire? I missed that. They hired someone?
They hired Ferentz.
Oh, okay. No, look, people are blaming Gerard Johnson, but we're not fully in the blame CJ cycle yet. That's why. We're in like the stages of grief. There's the stages of blame. You've blamed the OC. Now we're at the quarterback coach. Next is probably the head coach, and then finally you get to the quarterback when he's no longer on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot of these. I have a lot of experience in this department, so of blaming, you know, who's wrong with quarterbacks. So I know how it goes.
Isn't the R in RBI stand for runs? No, it stands for run. If you knocked in a run and you get an RBI, that's not plural.
Correct.
You have a runner at second base, you get a base hit to center field, the runner from second scores. That's right. An RBI. It's an RBI.
Yes.
That's a RBI. That's one. So how would it stand for runs?
I don't know. I don't know. You're very disappointed in our text.
5795, you go in the dugout and don't leave.
Oh, not in the
dugout. You go in the dugout, don't leave, 5795. All right,
I
didn't throw him out.
Miscommunication. Miscommunication.
Oh, Colton just ejected his first ever listener. No,
to be fair,
Colton just ejected his first ever listener.
I'm going to defend Colton here. One, he got the head nod from Brian that went like this. Two, you just said,
I know,
we don't do that. And then you did it. You went back on your word.
I did.
Ejected.
I did go back on my word. I'm done with AP style rule for the rest of the show. I am distracted.
Anything goes Friday.
I am on tilt. I am upset. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. every emotion I am right now. 713-780-ESPN. I'm not arguing with anymore about AP. Stop sending these in. Stop dying on the RBI's vine, I see, because it is the proper vine. All the other vines are dead.
Of all the things that make you so upset, this is maybe number one. It feels like it might be number one.
I'm just distracted.
Oh, that's fair.
They've never usually had this much pushback. Usually, yes, you're right, Branham. It is RBI. Most people have, but some people are arguing with me.
Well, normally you just probably just yell at Brian.
It's disgusting.
Now you're yelling at everyone else or a lot of others.
You know what it is? It's disrespectful.
Mm.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the Associated Press. It's disrespectful. I have no idea what MLA stands for. It's disrespectful to the MLA. What does that stand for? Language arts, probably something? Something language arts?
Probably.
What does MLA mean?
I would imagine it is.
Right?
Oh, what else was
Modern that? Language Association. All of you people, you're just spitting in the face of Modern Language Association. It's disgusting, really.
Disgusting.
I'm disgusted. All right, what is the what's the Rockets timeline, Joe?
Yeah, I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast last night, and on my drive home, they were talking about trade targets for the Rockets and different teams. They brought up Trey Jones on a side note as an option of all the different Bulls guards, that Trey Jones actually might be the better fit. I thought that was interesting, because especially like when you look at what he did against the Rockets in that last game they played. But they were talking about like different guys and like bringing in like a Giannis. And it's like, are you trying to win with KD and that's your timeline? Or is your timeline what Amen and Alpi are doing? And I thought about it a little, like, quite a bit of just like what they should really be focused in on. And as much as I love Kevin Durant, he's 37 years old. There's no guarantee that at 38, he's going to be fully healthy. I think the timeline is still in Men and Alpi. Like, that's why, like, it's not just this deadline. It goes into the offseason too. Like, if Giannis doesn't get moved at the deadline, which I don't think he's going to, I think it's going to be too complicated to get this thing done by next Thursday. So if you get to the offseason, he's back on the market. And like then you have more draft capital available. You know a better idea of what your roster is. Still trading one of like Amen or Alpi to get Giannis to try to win now with Kevin Durant, I think would be a huge mistake. So I think your timeline is still for the future. And you basically just dump Jalen Green because you don't believe in him. That's where I'm at.
I don't love timelines. In sport. I'm kind of Nick Casario-ish.
But it does, I feel like, change your trade, your process of your assets.
The way that I view things is that I'm always trying to be a contender. Like, I'm always trying to be a contender. And there's going to be moments when my team's not good enough to be a contender. So I'm going to make the moves necessary to try to get me in contendership as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So I really don't love the timeline view in sports. Like, I think you can always be a contender with shrewd moves and drafting well. A little tougher in the NBA because you're not really – like, it's tough to draft well in the NBA if you're always in the playoffs and you're drafting so late because it's harder to find good players there. But, like, football and baseball, you draft really well, you're always a contender. Always. Like, look at the really good organizations in NFL. Major League Baseball is a little different because it's not a salary cap sport, and you can spend big money to stay relevant and stay a contender. But go look at the NFL and how many organizations have been very good for a very long time. Why are those organizations good for a very long time? They make really good moves over and over again, and they draft really good more times than not. So that's why I hate the timeline thing. I think that if you're a good front office and you make good moves more than you make bad moves, I think you can be relevant and a contender a lot and more than any sort of timeline. For the Rockets, like if I was forced to answer the question, I do think it's the career of Şengün and Amen. Like, I think Durant's more of a mercenary, a great mercenary, and your best offensive player, not arguing that. But I think the Rockets can stay contenders as long as Şengün and Amen continue to develop a bit and stay in their prime, however long they're in their prime.
Yeah, because I think like the idea of like if you think the timeline is now to win a title, if you're Tillman and Patrick Fertitta, you're probably moving one of those assets to win in the next 2 to 3 years. Where if you just stick with Amen and Alpi, like, I mean, you could have these guys together for the next 10 years. Like, you have this long window to win. Like, you don't have to win right now, which is why I'm not surprised. You're like, that's what the reporting is from Tim McMahon, that the Rockets are going to stay patient and they're not going to rush to make a big move right now. But it does, like, having Kevin Durant and how good he's been playing recently, it does, like, I think fans are going to want to look at this team and say, hey, if you add something big, can you win a title right now?
Yeah, but I'm not opposed to doing that. I'm not opposed to adding something big.
I am if it's the right asset. Like, and I don't know, like in the context of like this deadline, I don't think Giannis is that.
Okay.
He's too injury prone at this point in his career. He's currently hurt. Like, you're betting on a guy that hasn't really stayed healthy in a couple years consistently, and you're giving up one of those two assets.
Right. That's my hang up. Like, I don't mind making a big move, but I don't want to trade Alpi and Amen.
Yeah.
Like, anybody else to me is on, like, up for grabs.
Oh,
on the
yeah.
Table. Like, that's why, like, the Rockets young core. Like, what is that Rockets young core that fits that timeline that you're talking about? I think it's a two-player core. I think it's Alpi and Amen. Now, you have role players around them that are young. Jabari, I think, can be a good role player. He's young around them. Tari, I think, can be a really good player. He's but more of a role player, not a star. He's around them. You know, whatever Reed Shepard turns into, a young player that's around them, not a star. Like, to me, the only young core that you have to keep are Amen and Alpi. The mm-hmm. other three, to me, are you know, pieces that I wouldn't hate if they're traded, depending on what you get in return. Like, I'm not giving them away for free. I'm not trading them for a 38-year-old rental. Like, I want them to, you know, if they traded those guys, I'd want it to be for a good piece that's here for the, you know, a few years, right?
Sure.
Two, three, 4 years of club control or under contract for that amount of time. So I do value them, but I wouldn't be brokenhearted if they were traded.
No, like, if you could find a way to move, like, Jabari and Reed with Fred's contract this offseason for a player that's a little bit older, that's going to really elevate this team, that's fine. I agree with you. Like, I think it's a two-player core that... I don't. Who could work their way into it? Is it Reed?
I don't really love Reed. I think Reed's a role player. I think he's a combo guard that can't defend.
So it's not Jabari. It's not Reed. Is it Tari?
I think Jabari could become a very good role player for you. I think he could be a third piece. but he needs to develop in some areas. Like, he kind of disappears a bit offensively. I don't think he's that tough. I think he acts tough. He's not that tough. Don't love his rebounding. But I think he could be a 40% three-point shooter that can get to 10 rebounds a game if he was committed to that.
But he's not.
Tari a little bit too. Tari concerns me more about like the injuries and stuff.
Yeah, he's odd.
I think I like Tari more as a player than Jabari.
I agree.
But Tari just is always hurt, and it kind of annoys me.
Yeah, if you could find a way to keep Tari this offseason and then Jabari goes away, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
What's his name? Ben DuBose.
Jabari's the third court guy. He's almost 7 foot tall. Cool, but he doesn't act like it. Like, it's great to be 7 foot tall, but if you don't act like you're 7 foot tall, then you're wasting it.
I'm putting this on the Bad Take Boulevard document for a future. Ben DuBose guaranteed that Tari Eason's not leaving this offseason.
Okay.
So,
well, I think there's a good chance of that if they're not shopping him. Because those moves are correlated to me. Like, if you're like, he's not on the table, we're not trading him at the deadline, that to me sounds like you're going to match any contract offer he receives in the offseason.
Sure.
So I do think that there's correlation there. So I wouldn't call that a bad take today. Obviously, if he's wrong, then okay, bad take.
Oh, yeah, it's more just to keep this in mind for the future.
Yeah.
And not have to scroll through thousands of bookmarks.
Yeah, for sure. I like Reed, but is just so insane knowing he was third overall. Wasn't a great draft, but yeah. A junkie says Reed is Steph Kerr, needs a star to thrive. I don't think he's Steve Kerr. To me, he's got more game than Kerr. Steve Kerr was just a spot-up three-point shooter. Reed can do more than that. Reed can spot up. Reed can drive a little bit. Reed can pass a little bit. Reed's got more to his game than Steve Kerr. He can drive and rise and fire from the elbow and knock down a jumper there. Reed's got more offensive versatility than Steve Kerr ever did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know like what a good comp for Reed's career would be, because I think he's
kind of poor man's Redick.
That's fine.
I think he's a poor man's Redick. Like, he's not as electric as a shooter, not as electric coming off screens, maybe a little bit better of a ball handler, but not much, and probably not a good, nowhere near the defender that Redick was.
And definitely like more Orlando
Reed,
JJ Redick,
Seth Curry.
Huh. I don't hate that comp.
No,
I don't hate that.
I think he's got more offensive skill, like getting to his own shot.
Yeah.
Seth Curry's probably a better shooter.
Yes, he is.
Reed's a good shooter, but I don't know if he's as good as Seth.
What's Seth Curry?
But a little bit more offensive creativity. Is he in Golden State with his brother?
Looks like he has played in two games this year. Maybe he got hurt?
Give me Kobe White. You also need to know, do they think this is peak or close, Alpi and Amen, and the value will peak? I mean, they're very young. I hope this isn't their peak. I hope they get better. J-Bone, how do you feel about Chicago-style citation guidelines? Love them. I bet Joe loves them.
Sorry.
What are they?
I thought it was my references.
Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Your references?
That I referenced Chicago too much today already. It's 3:46, my bad.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know what that is.
I think he's saying that Chicago has citation guidelines.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't really
know either.
I don't know. Someone else says you got take lock on the RBI's debate, and it's take lock in its finest form right now. It's not take lock, it's fact lock. It's literally fact. MLA, AP, fact. You're arguing with fact, brother.
Oh, yeah, it's a like style of writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
What do they say about it?
Oh, that's like, right, should I search RBI here?
You going to comp Reed to only white guys? Seth Curry's white?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I guess we didn't do that. 841-818, you're gone. You're out of here. I'm in a mood now. I'm in a mood now. You're only going to comp Reed to only white guys after we just comped them to Seth Curry? See, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Get the Bad Take Boulevard. You got Grumpy Branham now for the rest of the day. He's still Joe, though. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
You can. All you RBI truthers are idiots. We got to bang through Bad Take Boulevard here, kind of up against it. Emmanuel Acho, did you see what he said? He's a longhorn.
He's an idiot.
What a longhorn. He's a longhorn, right?
He's
a longhorn.
He is.
Oh, Brian's saying he disassociates with Acho. He's a longhorn. Yeah. He's saying he's not a longhorn that we represent.
He is. Sorry.
All the smart longhorns are T-shirt longhorn fans. I shouldn't say that. My sister graduated from Texas. Emmanuel Acho with an interesting take between Shedeur Sanders and Todd Monken.
And also, if I'm Shador or anybody in that locker room, why am I listening to Todd Munkin?
What?
What if you won on an NFL level as a head coach? You're not even a head coach on an NFL level. So I don't even have expectation for Shador under Todd Munkin, because I believe any expectations I would have, he would not meet. Because why am I excited about it, Pete?
Why are we listening to you? You shouldn't listen to any head coach that has never had head coaching experience, Joe. No one should have listened to Sean McVay when he took the Rams job. That's foolish.
It's one of the dumbest takes I've ever heard.
Should listen to D'Amico whenever he took the Texans job. He's never had head coaching experience.
But why should you listen to any coach then on your staff?
Mm-hmm.
This is probably a good reason why he was a bad player.
It's a bad take.
At Texas, frankly, was overrated. If you look at his stats. And in the NFL, not good. This is one of the worst takes of the year. Congratulations.
Terrible take.
I know he's trying his hardest to make his little podcast the big thing.
Yeah.
But this is like...
He's got tons of views, though. This is what's wrong with society, is that it has gotten a lot of exposure.
Yeah, but how much money... does ESPN want this now?
He doesn't... Does he work for
ESPN? No, I'm saying, when he wants to get back into, real media...
I don't know.
I couldn't imagine putting that take on television. And there's a lot of bad ones out there on TV, too. This is one of the worst takes I've ever heard.
It's pretty bad. Mike McCarthy tried to take credit for developing Joe Montana, according to Ed Werder.
Huh. He did?
He's been around a long time, so.
I guess he was on the staff?
Yeah. Mike McCarthy, you make the list. Stephen A. Smith. He is mad about the Steelers head coaching hire. And he had an interesting name of who should have been interviewing. Stephen A.?
I'm very upset going back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I want to stay for the record, and I'm not joking about this. I'm dead serious. I believe that Ryan Clark should have been interviewed for the job.
Wow. Wow.
Based on...
Well, he was Philip Rivers interviewed with Buffalo. Philip Rivers shouldn't have interviewed with Buffalo. Luke McCown shouldn't have interviewed with the Texans.
Josh McCown
shouldn't have interviewed with the Texans. Ryan Clark should not interview with the Steelers. Let's be real, Stephen A. Come on.
If you want to do it, go coach, man.
Ryan Clark was befuddled. He's
Yeah, but that's Orlovsky. Orlovsky keeps saying he wants to be an OC in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'm okay.
Go do it.
Go be a quarterback coach first.
Yeah, go
and
do
then
it.
Get an OC job.
Yeah.
That's how it typically goes.
Yeah. Stephen A. makes the list. Mita Kimes.
She just made the list.
She hated the Geno trade and the Darnold signing. Mm-hmm. She's had a bunch of tweets that have resurfaced since Darnold won the NFC Championship game and is going to the Super Bowl, saying how she hated the Geno trade, hated the Sam Darnold signing, and Mina's getting dragged over this.
Yeah, she was real wrong.
Yeah.
Real wrong on this one.
And we all have our buttes. Jeff Sunday on Twitter. He said, not going to pile on Mina with her Steelers take. Instead, I'll take the high road and remind you of this reaction to whenever she had this reaction whenever the Bills drafted Josh Allen.
That's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
What are you doing?
So let's remember.
She was getting murdered there for a second.
Incredible. Mina's done for the day.
This is madness. I'm sorry. Someone has to speak for reason here. Somebody has to speak for logic and statistics.
Someone has to speak for reason, logic, and statistics.
Yeah, not you.
Who's speaking for statistics? Leave the AP style sticking up to for me. But Mina Kimes makes the list. I mean...
You just made the list!
I was a little scared whenever I heard that squealing, high-pitched noise.
Yeah, that's not how you typically,
That was noise.
React to a player getting drafted.
And then Allen's a multiple-time MVP. And I'm not a Josh Allen guy.
No, but this is why...
But I can understand that he's a good football player.
But this is why ESPN and some of these other places, they get it real wrong with the draft coverage. Because they put people, men or women... Because it's not just women. It's also a lot of men that talk and break down the draft in real time that don't watch college football.
They just look at the stats.
And then they definitely are not watching Wyoming. So if you're not watching Ohio State, you're definitely not watching Wyoming. Not that a lot of us were, but
I
you can tell.
Wyoming. No. Have you ever watched a Wyoming game?
No.
I've never watched a Wyoming game.
But it's
game.
Why you shouldn't. You don't have to have a take on everything. I get it's your job. But you can be this feels risky. He played at Wyoming. Not that response.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You can be well, it feels risky. Allen, not great numbers at Wyoming. Don't know if I like that. Not the, somebody was killing her.
Yeah, yeah.
Worried for her health.
Very much so.
Bill Plaschke. If the Bears miracle can't beat the Rams, what can? Nobody. Write this down. Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
He is littered with bad takes, always.
Bill Plaschke, yeah. Make the list.
You just made the list!
Bob Fesco. Never heard of this fella. But he had this tweet on January 12, 2017. At least the Rams' new coach looks L.A. He'll be out in 3 years. Talking about Sean McVay.
Got that one wrong.
This picture makes it look like Sean McVay has half a pinky, too. It's just bent, but it looks like half a pinky.
It does.
So, Bob, you made the list.
What was he, like 29 when you got hired?
You just made the list!
Yeah.
Something like that. I get the skepticism.
We'll skip the Aaron Glenn audio because it's kind of loud and rub against it. But Aaron Glenn last year was talking about last year's staff. And he's like, talking about the process and like, we're going to hire good people. And then like, he fired the whole staff.
Yeah, he did.
I also want to point out that was Brian that put that on there because I don't bang on Aaron Glenn. I ride or die with Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's my guy. Nimitz High School, baby. I ride with Nimitz High School.
Yeah.
So I want to point out that that's Brian doing that. But it is fair. Diego Pavia is listed height at Vanderbilt. Makes the list. Commodores listed Pavia.
You just made the list.
6 foot tall. His official Senior Bowl height, 5 foot nine, 7/8 of an inch. So he's my height.
Yikes.
He's like your height. And they listed him at 6 foot. Mm. Diego Pavia. H-Town Wilhouse makes the list this week, too.
You just made the list.
January 17th. Almost 2 weeks ago now, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. He said, I've been told a deal between the Astros and Red Sox most likely gets done for Paredes this week.
Oh.
So this has been last week. If when the deal gets done, I'm also being told Duren would be a part. Don't know what other pieces the Astros would send. H-Town Wilhouse, love you like a brother. But you made the list.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
2 weeks ago tomorrow.
That's tough.
And there's also been people. Well, Will Kunkel said he had a source, not sources, mm-hmm. which is kind of, up for interpretation if that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And then, but Schwab did quote tweet that and said that he could confirm it.
Yes.
Schwab, I confirmed
something. I did see you confirm a big story yesterday. The Astros made a trade.
The Astros made a trade. Yep.
And you confirmed it. Congratulations.
They made a trade.
I'm really proud of you for having a source or sources.
I didn't say I had a source. My sources were Chandler Rome and Brian McTaggart.
That's two sources. You didn't have to out them.
Well, they're not embarrassed by it.
That's true.
I hope not.
Chandler might be.
MLB Now probably had a top 10 shortstop list that didn't include Jeremy Pena.
Yikes.
How could you leave that handsome fella off the top 10 list? So they made the list.
You and then, just made the list.
There was Cubs fans telling me like back in maybe April, May, somewhere around there. They were telling me that Kyle Tucker was going to re-sign with them, and it was embarrassing that I said that he wasn't. They all made the list.
What
too.
Planet did this? Those guys.
You just made the list.
Somebody was like, "If Kyle Tucker re-signs, you have to deactivate your account." I was like, "Well, you have to deactivate your account." And then he didn't deactivate his account.
Yeah, because it was pretty obvious he was never going to re-sign with them.
Those Chicago people, though, they aren't very smart.
That's fine. I could have told you that one a million miles away.
They're very smart there in Chicago. All right, 713-780-ESPN. That is this week's Bad Take Boulevard. Coming up next, there is a prediction out there, Joe, that the Houston Texans will extend Will Anderson Jr. Okay, we all understand that. And C.J. Stroud. I want to throw in the new salary cap into this, too, though. Like, with the increase in salary cap, does it actually make sense to re-sign C.J. Stroud, too? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.